So, Hare Krishna. So, tonight we're going to have a nice discussion about book distribution and also about giving out the holy name to people, because this is actually the mood of our line and the mood of our founder Acharya and of our disciplic succession. And the last verse of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, it talks about the glories of chanting the holy name. So it's actually a nice way for the Bhagavatam to end this Yuga Dharma given to us. So first, His Grace Tathavit Prabhu will speak about the old days, give us some nice stories and an importance of distributing Prabhupada's books specifically, because nowadays people like to distribute so much stuff, but really emphasis should be Prabhupada's books. So it's nice to hear. So, His Grace Tathavit Prabhu Ki Jai.
The point at which I'll begin is the point at which I came in touch with and the devotees who were distributing books. This was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that's in the northern part of America, in the center. I began to visit the devotees and attend a class on Bhagavad Gita and take prasadam with the devotees. And then I would see some of the devotees in that group in the town, in the city, in the student area near the university, distributing books. And to me, it was what they were doing was strictly adhering to the practice of Krishna consciousness. I was still not doing that, and They were because of their strict following, they were set apart from ordinary people in my mind. And also, according to Shastra, that's true, that if you act on the transcendental platform, then you're there, you're elevated. So I saw them as some elevated saintly persons, because they were restraining their senses. They were not engaged in the unrespectable activities that so many other people were doing. And I remember how fired up they used to be distributing books on the streets. One winter, when it was cold, two of the men were out at an intersection. They were across the street from each other, and I was on the other side of the street, and I happened to see them as I was walking by. So they were out, and it was so cold that the breath, the air that came out of their mouths was turning into a white vapor. And it was that cold, you know. But they were still distributing books. And I remember how excited they would be when someone took a book. I saw them just at the point when one of them sold the book to someone, and the person walked off with the book. And the other devotee caught the attention of the other devotee across the street, and he jumped up and down and said, "Hey, Aribo!" You know, like a book, another book went up. And it was so exciting for them. So one reason that it was very intense for them was that it was almost the main activity, almost the only activity that was going on in the early and mid 1970s, because Srila Prabhupada was especially keen, especially enthusiastic to see it happen. He was hearing about it from the leaders, that the devotees were learning how to distribute books on the street, and he was encouraging them like anything. As the sales started to take off, Prabhupada would encourage them. Then the devotees would distribute more books, and Prabhupada would feel more enlivened and encourage them even more to try and double their distribution. Then they would try and they would do it, and Prabhupada would become more enthusiastic, and he would write letters and say, I will certainly visit this temple because they have distributed so many books. And the devotees were thinking, well, if we distribute books, then Prabhupada will come. I joined ISKCON just after being in the university, and in those days we had a lot of political activity going on. The students were politically active, a lot of them. They were engaged in protesting racism, protesting the Vietnam War. We really did organize a lot of activities on the campus. There were strikes, there were takeovers of buildings, and the police would come on the campus and throw tear gas and, you know, try to stop the marches. And it really had the students going. A lot of students and professors also were really trying very seriously to make the government change the course. I was into that to some extent. So when I joined ISKCON, I had this spirit, you know, that you had to tell people that something was important was going on, and something to change things was going on. And so I brought that spirit to the book distribution that I did. Distributed in California. But the topic changed. Instead of talking about stopping the war, the Vietnam War, I was telling the California housewives in the parking lots, you know, this is a book about spiritual realization. I'd show them the picture of Lord Chaitanya, and I tried to get them to relate to it. And this comes from India. This is about persons who started a renaissance in spiritual life. And, you know, trying to get the ordinary California housewife to think, well, I should read this book, you know, it's pretty important. Of course, it's not so easy to do, you know, people are kind of skeptical, they don't have much faith in, they don't have much knowledge. But that's the point of book distribution, to give them the knowledge that will enable them to awaken their faith, to strengthen their faith. And so at some point you have to push yourself. When I committed myself to distributing books as a new member of the temple, I remember adopting a quota. I thought, well, if I'm going to distribute 50 books today and I'm going to be here from 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock, then I have to distribute 10 books an hour, so that means I have to distribute one book every 6 minutes or so. So I would actually work on that basis, thinking, you know, stick to the schedule, set this quota for yourself, and try and stick to it, really, you know, seriously. It was just a matter of approaching people and meeting people and trying to interest them. Lochan Das Thakur talks about this in his song about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He said that they're so merciful that they can make animals and birds in the forest weep and cry. They passed through a forest named Jarakhand, Lord Chaitanya, and he made tigers, elephants, and snakes, and deer, and other animals chant Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada says, if the animals can join, then what to speak of human beings? Of course, ordinary men cannot induce animals to chant, but if Lord Chaitanya could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt the path of chanting. And it's so nice that even stone-hearted men's hearts will melt. Lochan Das Thakur says, Pashana means stone. And he says, Pashana Vidare. Even stone-hearted men can be encouraged and may change and may take a book if you say the right thing. Srila Prabhupada encouraged one devotee named Tripurari to visit the temples and teach the devotees how to distribute books. Tripurari was called by Srila Prabhupada the incarnation of book distribution. He was a very charismatic devotee, a nice looking devotee, very sober and serious and calm. And he came to our temple, and after our morning program, after breakfast, we met with him. And he sang a nice bhajan, and then he explained the bhajan a little bit and began to talk about book distribution. You could see how he was absorbed. He really had an attachment to the sublime quality of Lord Chaitanya's movement. He was internally absorbed, like Srila Prabhupada was. You know, you sometimes may wonder, well, how did Prabhupada act the way he did? How could he always be so transcendentally potent and sharp? So that kind of quality, we saw that developing in Tripurari and some other devotees who were taken very seriously to Krishna consciousness. Very charismatic. So he encouraged us a lot. After I was in California for 6 months, Srila Prabhupada came there for the Rath Yatra. We helped Jayananda get the Rath Yatra carts ready. We spent about 6 weeks preparing for that, and Srila Prabhupada came. And then after that, I went to New York to help at the ISKCON Press. I knew Jayadwaita. I had met him before I joined, and I wanted to try working on the press. So I went to New York, and I found there that the New York devotees had a very strong spirit of book distribution. They were competing with the devotees in the Los Angeles temple who could distribute more books. Also Chicago and Atlanta, other cities, big cities with big numbers of devotees. At that time, Prabhupada had answered a question that the devotees had asked him in letters. How should we organize our meals and how should we organize our schedules so that devotees can do the most book distribution? And Srila Prabhupada suggested, why don't you have a feast every morning? Cook a big feast. And the devotees can eat that for breakfast. And then they can go out all day. And you don't have to worry about, you know, a big meal during the rest of the day. They can take something with them, and if they're hungry, they can eat. Just cook a big thing, meal in the morning. So we were doing that in New York. That's when that started. That was about 75, late 74, 75. And all the departments in the temple took part in this distribution. After after breakfast, the devotees would go out on Sankirtan. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki. After having a big breakfast in New York, the devotees at ISKCON Press devotees would go out for at least an hour. We'd walk to the subway station, get on the subway, and we'd begin to talk, make announcements on the subway. At that time we had luglus, we packaged luglus. During the evening Bhagavad Gita classes, the devotees used to roll luglus, and we bought a machine that would put this nice sweet in a package, plastic package, and seal it, and we would staple an invitation to it. So we had all these nice pieces of candy made from dried fruit and nuts. And on the subway, we would announce that we had Back to Godhead magazines and these luglus, just a very brief announcement before the train pulled out. Then we'd walk around, and when people got a luglu, then they would give a donation usually, and usually the price might cover a magazine, or we could negotiate that they could take a magazine and a luglu. So we would distributing those, and then after some distribution, an hour or so, then we would go back and start our work at the press. So in this way, members of all the different departments in the temple were contributing to the book distribution. Really, a lot of devotees, you know, it wasn't that there was just a Sankirtan team, but everybody considered himself a Sankirtan devotee. The whole temple was fired up. We also used a few other things. We had a statement from the mayor of New York, John Lindsay, saying that the Hare Krishna devotees are really great because they help people get off drugs. They help young people who are having problems with drugs overcome their drug problems. So this was good enough to put on a pamphlet, and we had a nice pamphlet about this, how Krishna consciousness could help you if you had a drug problem. Really good contribution to society, and with that pamphlet also we can induce people to give a donation and take a book. Sometimes you'd meet somebody famous on Sankirtan in New York. One day I met Art Garfunkel from Simon and Garfunkel. You've heard their music? Simon and Garfunkel, have you heard of them? So Art was walking with a friend down the street, and I said, "Hey, Art Garfunkel," you know, and he didn't want to be stopped. He'd get stopped by so many people, so he kept walking, but his friend stopped, and his friend gave a donation. Now, I wasn't a devotee who was, you know, like super successful. Some devotees were, like Vaishya Seekers, extremely successful in distributing books. They had the highest scores all the time. And I never made it into that category. I was the kind of book distributor that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur praised. He was very pleased if a brahmachari went out and distributed two books, you know. So I was like that, you know. If I did two books, I was thinking, wow, I've really done good. And sometimes I would do more, you know. I'd always try to do more, but, you know, I always had to be content, I was never on top. But there were times in other places where it was easier to have bigger scores. Once I was a part of the China mission. We were based in Hong Kong and preaching underground, undercover in China. And in Taiwan, we could dress in our dhotis. Taiwan is separate from China. They still have Buddhists, they still have demigod worship, and religion has not been outlawed there. They still worship their ancestors. You can see all this in Taiwan. So the Taiwanese, they had this tradition of giving donations to Buddhist monks, and we looked very much like Buddhist monks. And we didn't all speak Chinese, so we had a card, handwritten card, saying that we're monks and we're giving out books about Vaishnava religion, and we'd like you to buy a book and give a donation. So we had this kind of exchange with the Taiwanese people, who are quite, they're very affluent people, much different than China. They're like on the Western standard of affluence. So they liked to give donations. They liked to impress a foreigner. They could tell we were foreigners or Westerners, and they liked to impress that, you know, we have money, we can certainly give you a big donation. So we did big in Taiwan. And we didn't have to argue with people. Maybe one of the reasons I never did big is because when you distribute books, you know, you have to talk to people, and you have to, you know, sort them out and see where they're coming from, you know. You have to kind of get into an intellectual exchange with them of some kind. So that sometimes, you know, shuts people down, you know. If you don't get the category right, they get... Anyway, one contribution I was able to make, aside from direct book distribution, when I got to New York in 77, this was the first time I went to New York was 75, the second time was in 77. And at that time, it was possible for me to take up the service of editing the Sankirtan newsletter. And this was really a big item of communication. There were no computers, you know, there were no internet email exchanges. Exchanges were done by mail usually, or telephone, or in some cases a telex machine. We had a telex machine, and we would get reports from South America and Europe how many books were distributed every week by the different temples. At that time there were only 50 or 60, 70 temples. It was gradually going up to about 100 temples by the time Prabhupada left. But say 60 of them or so were distributing books and reporting scores. So every week these scores were telephoned into New York or telexed to New York, or some kind of report was sent. And my job was to compile the scores every week, tell which temples were distributing the most, who the biggest distributors were, and what the outstanding things that happened on Sankirtan, stories of book distribution. It was a 6 to 10 page newsletter, and I would get it ready every week. And one lady who was a very fast touch typist, she would do it on an electronic typewriter and just, you know, she could type, you know, without looking at the keys, she could type. She could just look at the numbers and the figures and type, type, type. Soon she had the whole thing typed. Then we photocopied it and stapled it together, folded it, put it in envelopes, and every Sunday night it was mailed out. Without fail, every Sunday night, Rameshwar praised, you know, that it came out regularly. It always came out regularly. Rameshwar in Los Angeles of the BBT, he was very happy that it was always on time. So on Sunday night, we would take it down to the main post office in New York, which never closed, the post office on 34th Street. It was so big, you know, it had to be open 24 hours a day, you know, just because it was New York, such a big, big city. And I heard from, later, from Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that whenever he was with Srila Prabhupada, and the mail came, the letters came in the post box, and they were brought to Prabhupada. Whatever mail was there, if the Sankirtan newsletter was there, Prabhupada would say, "I want to see that first." So that was not to my credit, but you know, he was so keen on the book distribution and following the scores and encouraging the devotees. So that was what it was like. Hare Krishna.
Now we'll hear from Maharaj, and he'll speak about also about book distribution and other things of this nature to gear us up for tomorrow.
Om Agyanate Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I like to reflect after hearing such wonderful experiences from Tathagat Prabhu on how he experienced book distribution during Srila Prabhupada's physical presence. I like to go back a little bit on history about and reflect on the Sankirtan movement and the importance of book production and book distribution, particularly in the present age, in the age of Kali. Traditionally, we know that Vedic knowledge was transmitted orally through the generations of gurus and disciples. And only 5,000 years ago, it was written. So actually, book production in the present age, the present times we live, started in 5,000 years ago, approximately, with the beginning of the age of Kali, so that people will be able to remember the knowledge. Because in the age of Kali, one of the characteristics is that the memory diminishes very much. So, and still even nowadays, we find in South India, in some Gurukulas, the children, they chant the mantras, Vedic mantras, and in order to, like as in the ancient tradition, chanting the mantras, this was the process of preserving Vedic knowledge through hymns. And they're able to chant the mantra, maybe 300-400 children at the same time, each line, and then they sing the mantra backwards to ensure that each word of the mantra is preserved. That was the traditional process. But due to the short memories in the age of Kali, this will change completely. Now we need the book. We need books. So the Sankirtan movement is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. The Bhagavatam teaches us that in the same moment when Lord Krishna departed from this planet, at that very same moment, the age of Kali started. And then the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask, who is protecting now the religious principles? Now that Lord Krishna has departed, who will take care of the religious principles? And the answer is given, Krishna is Badamu Bhagate, Dharma Gyana Divisaha, Kalau Nashta Drishamesha, Pura Narko Dunoditaha. That this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is as brilliant as the sun, has appeared, is Lord Krishna himself, who has appeared to cast off the darkness of ignorance, darkness of Kali. And people who are sincere, they will get light from studying this Purana. And Srimad Bhagavatam predicts the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga Avatara. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangashta Parshadam Jagyai Sankirtana Prayai Chachantihi Sumedasaha. And it predicts the process of Sankirtan. This is the process of worship the Lord, of connecting with the Lord in the age of Kali. This morning, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu was telling me, I was asking him about his experience during the Kirtan Mela. You have heard, or some of you were there. Who was there in the Kirtan Mela? I wasn't. I looked through the internet. I was through internet a little bit also. Who was there physically? Nobody? Okay. You were there. Very good. So our Pujari Dev was there. So and Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu was sharing his experience. He went with all his family. That was his holiday. He's this year, he's the chairman of the GBC, so he's having a very demanding service. So for him, it was very refreshing to go there. And he was explaining how natural it is, how this getting together and chanting and dancing the glory, the holy names of the Lord, how natural it is. This is a Sankirtan, Sankirtan movement. And the Bhagavatam tells us in the verse I quoted in 11th canto that intelligent people in the age of Kali will worship the Lord through the chanting of the holy name, Sankirtan, together chanting, glorifying the Lord. And this is a very powerful process because purifies the person who does it, the practitioner, and purifies everyone around. This is the power of Sankirtan. Therefore, it is meant for the age of Kali, where people will not go searching for a guru as it will happen in the times of yore. In times of yore, gurus will be in the caves, they will be secluded in the forest, and then everyone will know, I need to go and find a guru. Nowadays, people don't know that. Therefore, we need a process, the most merciful and intelligent Lord, he creates this process of Sankirtan, specifically tailored for the age of Kali. And then people benefit. The practitioner can do it very easily, and everyone around gets the benefit as well. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, 526 years ago, and he spread the Sankirtan movement. And he predicted, Prithivite Achayata Nagaradigram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Moranam, that in every town and village of the world, my holy names will be sung. So, and due to the mercy of the desire, the supreme will of Lord Chaitanya, this happened all over India. When I was in Portugal, I met one person who was telling me about some chronicles. People, the Portuguese were in India during Lord Chaitanya's time. So they were one fellow who attended the Sunday feast about some chronicles written by Portuguese chronist. And they were talking about I think it was in the area of Orissa. They were referring to the golden giant who was traveling around and singing with drums and cymbals, and they had some records. Of course, I didn't have the chance to tack it on. The person was making the statement. But the point is that even some people from the West who went to India, they may have the opportunity to meet Lord Chaitanya or the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And there was a transformation in the whole world. Mysticism was everywhere. I was born in Spain. In Spain, we have great Christian mystics like Santa Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross during the time of Lord Chaitanya. And they are speaking about God as the husband and the soul as the wife. So the similar mysticism taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether they had direct contact, because some of them traveled to India, or whether it was divine mystic contact, whatever it was, such connections are there, and it is empirically visible if we look at the periods where Lord Chaitanya manifests his Lila, and then when this great saints from different traditions live in the planet. So, and then how Lord Chaitanya's teachings were preserved. The Sankirtan movement continued, but the theology was formulated in the books. Lord Chaitanya ask the six Goswamis to write books. And now we have, for example, we have Nectar of Devotion, Upadeshamrita, mercifully given by Srila Prabhupada to us, because the six Goswamis took the trouble to write books. And we should remember that in the classical and medieval times, books were written by hand. So the printing press is only a modern phenomenon. Only took place, I don't remember, maybe some of you can help me, but when was the printing press invented? Maybe any of the editors? When, approximately? 1560-something. So it was actually during Srila Bhaktivinoda's time, because Srila Bhaktivinoda was born in 1838, and there are articles where actually he started. There is an article written by a scholar, I forgot the name, but they have the article if someone is interested. Fuller, J. Fuller. He wrote an article referring how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he started to use the printing press already at his time. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he took it over and he further developed it. So, and then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called it the Brihat Mrindanga, the great Mrindanga, the great drum. So we have the kirtan. When there is a kirtan, Srila Prabhupada will explain that, quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. We perform a kirtan, sankirtan, a group of devotees, and it can be heard maybe 4 or 5 blocks from the place where the kirtan is taking place. But then with the Brihat Mrindanga, with the printing press Mrindanga, that glorification of the Lord can be heard very, very far away. Last January, we went to Cape Verde, a small African country. It used to be a Portuguese colony. And this was, we thought, in one way, it was officially was the first Sankirtan party going to that country, that we know. A group of 4 members. But actually, when we were there, we were very pleased to see that Srila Prabhupada's books had arrived before us. Specifically, I found 2 people who received books. Of course, devotees, one was outside the country, was one professor of the university. He had gone to do his PhD in Moscow, in Russia. And he showed us, he was very happy to show us the books devotees distributed when they were persecuted before the perestroika. And we were so happy to see Srila Prabhupada had arrived before we arrived. So that's the power of book distribution, that we distribute now by distributing books in, like tomorrow in Maastricht. Many people may come to Maastricht, people from different parts of the world, tourists, or sometimes we go also to Brussels. And then we give the book, they take it to their country, and Srila Prabhupada is already there. So many devotees, they become attracted to Krishna consciousness through Prabhupada's books. Recently I was visiting Satrarup Maharaj in upstate New York, and then one devotee from Queens, he came to visit Satrarup Maharaj, and then they drove me to Newark Airport. When I was returning to Europe. So I asked one of the three devotees came. One of them, he had joined Krishna consciousness 18 months ago. I asked him, how did you join Krishna consciousness? And he said, I received a Krishna book at the airport. He said, he thought he was not sure who he was. He thought it was a sannyasi, was either a brahmachari or a sannyasi, was someone in saffron robes. And the this devotee approached him and offered him the book. I think he gave a donation, but he said he was very pleased. The devotee was very detached. He offered him, but was not pushing him for the money. He could feel really concerned about his welfare. So he felt inspired to take it. And then he asked him if he wanted to give a donation to print the book. That would be helpful. So he was happy to give whatever he could. So he said he took the book at home. He was from Indian background. It took him about 1 year to read the book. But the book transformed him and brought him to the temple. Then he looked for the address, and then there was an address there. Then he phoned. He went to see the devotees. And now he's a full-time devotee aspiring to be initiated by Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So we see how the books create an impact in people so much. Srila Prabhupada's words transform lives. This morning we were reading Gopi Paranadana Prabhu's statement he had on his desk. And he wrote that unless one is a person of integrity, I'm paraphrasing and with different words, one should not publicly speak, better close door, preach to oneself before preaching publicly. The beauty of book distribution or singing the holy names of the Lord is that we can go out in whatever position we are and give Srila Prabhupada's words. Of course, we should do it in a representative way, in a respectful way, compassionate way, generous way, approaching people in an exemplary manner so that we properly represent Srila Prabhupada. But even if there are some shortcomings we have, we can do it because Prabhupada will speak to them. So that's the beauty of and the power of book distribution, that we can share Krishna consciousness. Say, okay, here you read this book and the message is very clearly explained to you by a great teacher, a teacher of the world. And we can talk about Prabhupada, what Prabhupada did and how Prabhupada was barely sleeping in order to write these books and to distribute this message for the benefit of the people of the world. So it is actually a great fortune to be able to participate in going out and meeting people and give them a chance to revive their dormant Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So I don't know how to top what we've heard so far, because we've heard Tathagata Prabhu give a very, for me, inspiring hearing about the old days of the early days of the movement, because I feel a lot that this mood is lost now, where it's like not so many people are willing to make these sacrifices that these ladies and gentlemen made in the early days of movement, and also Maharaj speaking so nicely about the history and about how about appreciating what Prabhupada has given and given the books, and for me, well, book distribution is about being unqualified but still being engaged in the Sankirtan movement, right? About not having any qualification to speak about Krishna, but still Prabhupada's so merciful because he knows that, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that no one's more dear to me than that person who spreads my message. And it's Prabhupada giving us this mercy to allow us to be engaged in that yajna, in that devotional service, because by going out on Sankirtan, we're not going out to make tons of devotees. We're not going out to become a Maha Bhagavat book distributor. We're not going out for anything but just for self-purification, firstly. First and foremost, to become purified, and because by doing the service, so many realizations come. You know, I remember one year I won the marathon, and I was so fired up, and I was like, yes, I won the marathon. And next year I did no books whatsoever. And the realization came that, well, I'm definitely not the doer, because nothing's changed. My sadhana was the same. Everything was the same, even the same Sankirtan van, same Sankirtan partner. But the problem was with my mind. So Sankirtan is so important because it's about diving into the yajna, you know? It's like you have a huge yajna, and just like any yajna, people are throwing grains in, and usually they hit everybody that's in front of them with the grains, and maybe one or two grains get in the yajna itself, you know? But for us, for the Yuga Dharma is, you know, the chanting of the holy name, as Prabhupada explains in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that kirtanam also means explaining, right? That this is also a form of kirtan, right? So tomorrow is a great day, because we're going out, we're performing Harinam, and together with book distribution, we're kicking it old school, so to speak. We're bringing it back to the roots, right? Because like one day I was with Vaisheshika Prabhu one day, and we were walking from his house on his walk, and there were some kids playing baseball. As you know, Americans, baseball. And the kids were trying to do all these fancy moves to do double plays, and the coach starts screaming at him, and he's like, it's baseball 101, not baseball 102. And Vaishprabhu turned to me and said, yes, it's the basics. It's the basics of Krishna consciousness. And this is one of those basics that our whole movement is founded on. So how to distribute Prabhupada's books? Well, there's many different ways. I mean, but most importantly, it's to tell... Give Prabhupada's books, like it says, Bhagavad Gita as it is, not as you think it should be, or as you wish it was, or, you know, as you wish you can put into. No, you talk about Prabhupada's books exactly what they're about. These books are the tools to stop suffering of humanity, right? It's like people, like, one of my favorite Sankirtan lines is to stop people and say, are you happy? And of course, everyone's like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm like, can you be happier? And everyone's like, yeah, I can be happier. Like, this is something that can make you happy, right? The problem is that we try to sound like a pundit, and we quote all these Sanskrit verses to these people on the street that don't know what we're talking about anyway. You know, they don't even understand they're not the body. And yet, you know, we try and chant all these verses instead of just keeping it very simple. We're saying this book, and Prabhupada made it so easy, because even if you haven't read the book, you can just read the back of the book to the person, right? That you can just show them the pictures of the book. Prabhupada says these pictures are windows to the spiritual world. And just from the showing of the pictures, they captivate people's attention, and they make people want these books, right? But even if they don't take a book, there's no loss, there's no diminution, because just by holding the book, they've made spiritual advancement. Just by seeing a Vaishnava, they've made spiritual advancement. You know, the bhakti lata is there, and you never know what will happen. You know, so many people joined, coming in contact with books and then never even reading them or not even taking them, and then many, many years later, you know, like my mother-in-law is a perfect example of this. She received a book, I don't know exactly when, but she never read it. And then she gave it to her daughter, who read it and joined the temple, and then she became like fired up, and she got involved, and now she's out distributing Prabhupada's books. You know, so you see how these are like walking time bombs, right? You never know when they're going to explode and just blow the person out of the material suffering, right? How they're going to just end the suffering of anyone, right? So these Sankirtan seminars, these Sankirtan get-togethers, whatever we want to call them, these Sankirtan Saturday festivals, is an opportunity for us to leave every single person we come in contact with a favorable impression about Krishna. Right? Because what's the famous American saying? What is it, Gore? The first impressions are lasting impressions, right? Yeah, that's the one that counts, you know? Right? Like, this is what Vaishprabhu always says. Whether people take the book or don't take the book, leave everybody with a smile and a favorable impression about Krishna. Because what was it, one time we went out here in Maastricht, and I think it was the time we had like 37 people out on book distribution at one time. And one gentleman, I stopped him and I said, oh, you know, he's like, you're the 19th person that stopped me today for this book. The 19th person. It's like, well, you know, maybe it's a calling from God that you're supposed to have the book. If 19, and little did I tell him there are 37 people in one little area. And he said, but I'll take the book because every person I meet is nice. Even though I keep on telling them I'm not interested, I don't want it, they all smile and say, okay, well, thank you so much, and you have a blessed day, and you know, take care of yourself. And he said, this is not like something I've ever seen before. Usually I'm used to people that are trying to give me something that, you know, like the born-again Christians, you know, the famous born-again Christians, you know, you're going to hell if you're not one of us. And then I've experienced this so many times in book distribution, it's... I can write a book about it, you know, but just that personal attention, that just that feeling he got from seeing the smiles of all 19 people took him to the point in one day of taking one of Prabhupada's books. So you see, it's about being detached from numbers and just being attached to talking to people, right? Like, was it one super Kumari? You know, she was totally mental because she only distributed two books. But then when I asked her, how many people did you talk to? She said, I talked to 60 people about Krishna today. She was ecstatic, right? It's just about going out there and giving people Krishna. Right? This is the importance. And everyone can do it just for one day of the month. Everybody can give up a few hours of their Facebook, a few hours of their MySpace, of their internet life, of playing video games or whatever it else that people do, and everybody can come and engage in this yajna just one day a month. And if you can't go out, no problem. You can cook for the devotees that are going out. You can sponsor books. When, you know, if anybody here wants to sponsor some books, come and see us. We'll definitely engage you properly. You know, there's so many ways to be engaged in the yajna, but this is what we have to be, engaged in the yajna, right? We have to be engaged in this yajna. It's like, there's this huge Harinam party, I always say it, this huge Harinam party, and, you know, we can be in the front with Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, we can be in the front of that Harinam party, or we can be stuck in the back with that one devotee that looks like he's being walked to death row, you know? You know the Harinam party. Everybody in the front is very ecstatic, and as you go back, levels of ecstasy seem to drop. And as you get to that last person, he looks like he's fighting. He looks like he's on a death march, you know, from World War II, you know. And he's just walking around with his face super long and like, oh man, this sucks, you know. I don't want to be out here, you know. So, but it's true, right? I mean, tomorrow in the Harinam, look, and you'll see it, you know. It's like just... I mean, Queen's Day, it was this huge Harinam, and I saw it, you know, again, you know, where the swamis were, everyone was fired up, but then after that, it just kind of, until you had that woman in the back pushing her kid in the pram, and was just like fried, completely fried, you know. So, the point is that we have to do something to get to that inner circle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to do something to get to that front of the Harinam party, and that can only be engaged, like Srila Prabhupada said. I remember in a lecture, he said this all the time. In this one lecture, every day I would turn on while I was doing my seva for Giriraj. Every day I would, for a week or something, I would turn on this lecture, and it always start at the same point. Don't try and see God. Act in a way that God will see you. And I was thinking, oh, maybe Srila Prabhupada was trying to tell me something. This was happening every day, you know. I put it on shuffle, and it would always go to the same spot, the same lecture, right? The way to win Krishna's glance is to go out and give people Krishna. Right? The way to win the mercy of the Acharyas is to go out and give people Krishna. Right? This is what our whole line is. It's not bhajan anandis. Where, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the best bhajan anandi is one who preaches. Right? Right? Because from preaching, one receives the realizations. Right? From preaching, one receives these things. One starts to understand the importance of the books because one's experiencing right there, they're experiencing the power of the process of Krishna consciousness, right? Practically almost everybody in this room came to Krishna consciousness through a book, whether you were born in the movement or you weren't born in the movement. Somehow you came in contact with Prabhupada's books, and the only reason why you're here is because of Prabhupada's books, right? We can say I was born in the movement or this and that, but basically your parents became devotees because of Prabhupada's books. You know, so you wouldn't even be a thought unless Prabhupada's books were there. Right? So tomorrow, in this wonderful Sankirtan day, the only thing I will tell you is just go and have fun, right? Because that's what devotional service should be. You know, here in Radhadesh, we have an interesting approach to Sankirtan, right? It's not about scores. It's not about Lakshmi collected. It's about fun points. How much fun did you have that day, right? And it's worked because, you know, for those that don't know, last month the BBT party was number one in ISKCON in their category, beating out a lot of Indian temples, which is almost unheard of nowadays. And Radhadesh was number 10 in the big temple category, which, again, beating out the manor, beating out so many other temples also, right? All this is coming from this motto of having fun, right? Of going out and not being stressed that you have to give like so many, do so many books, that you have to do this, that you just, the only stress is you have to go out, right? You just have to get out on the street and the mission is accomplished. It's like, that's it. There's no stress to have to, you know, I remember when I first joined in Germany, you know, they would, you know, I was getting hammered if I didn't come home with a certain amount of books and I didn't even speak German. You know, I didn't even read German and they didn't even have any English books for me. You know, and so somehow if I didn't come home with 20, they were like, ah, Prabhu. Ah, I don't know if you're cut out to be a book distributor. Like, oh man, you know, I'm trying. No, these pressures are not there now because times have changed. No longer are we dependent on the book sales to maintain our projects, right? Especially here in Radhadesh, we have the boutique, we have a restaurant, we have the tour program, we have the guest house, all these facilities that are bringing in Lakshmi to maintain the place. So now it's such a ripe opportunity to go out and do book distribution because the pressure is not there to have to distribute all these books to eat, to live, to have water, to even buy a toothbrush, you know. All these things are here for us, right? So tomorrow, come and engage in the Sankirtan movement, right? Come engage in the Harinam, in the book distribution. Come and just for one day, right? For one day, you know, we all say we love Srila Prabhupada. We all say we love Radha Gopinath. We all say we love the Vaishnavas. But for one day, we can actually prove it by going out and giving people what we have, right? Otherwise, it's not so. It's just empty words and promises. It's like if you're married. You know, if you tell your wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, but you don't do anything for her, and vice versa, it's just, how much do those words actually mean? Nothing. It's just empty words. So it's the same thing. We talk all the time. Every class we discuss about Srila Prabhupada and how wonderful he is, and even amongst Vaishnavas we discuss about our spiritual master, about other Vaishnavas, and how much we appreciate everything they've done. But, you know, days like tomorrow are the days to put your money where your mouth is. You know, to go out and to give others Krishna. To go out and show our appreciation to Srila Prabhupada, show our appreciation to wonderful devotees like we have here, like Tattva Viprabhu and Maharaj, that have sacrificed so much for Krishna, because as we see, more and more senior devotees are leaving. And soon it will be left up to us to push this yajna, right? Either we can be a burden on the shoulder of our spiritual master, or we can be a shoulder for the burden of our spiritual master. It's up to us. Right? So, yeah. So tomorrow's a fired up day. We have fired up Guru Puja, fired up Harinam. Let's hope a good class. I have to give class, so let's hope it's decent. A wonderful, we're going to follow what Tattva Vip Prabhu said. We're going to have a wonderful feast. Get filled up with tons of prasadam. Right? And then go out and not just ask people for Krishna, to take Krishna, but beg people with all of our hearts to take Krishna. That's what we go out in the mood of a beggar, begging, take Krishna, please take Krishna. And then smile and say funny jokes like, wow, you have such a nice hairdo, when the guy's completely bald. You're like, wow, I love it, you know? Like, Sankirtan is about like, It's about connecting with people, and it's not about distributing a book. It's putting yourself into somebody else's position and understanding how to connect them to Krishna. And that can be done really easy if you just remember why you came to Krishna, why you came to the process. That doesn't take anyone to memorize thousands of verses. It just takes you to look in your heart and see. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about linking the internal bhajan to the external activities that we perform. That's what it is. It's about linking this in our preaching, in our cooking, in our everything we do, every seva we do. This is what we do. So I'm just going to end here because, you know, we've already had so much nectar from these wonderful devotees. And are there any questions for Tathagata Prabhu or Maharaj or anything anyone would like to share, or political statement or anything? Yes, Ananta Rupa Prabhu? Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada guaranteed for us.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is just one. You know, all you have to do is just try, you know. That's all you have to do is go out and you're getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? You know, in the old days we have to do all these, you know, yagyas, and I see them on the altar every morning and they're like, and they're doing all this funny stuff, and I just laugh, and I just think, oh, that's really nice, but thank goodness I'm not a pujari, and I just have to simply go out and engage in the Sankirtan Yajna, the Yuga Dharma, because I can't do any of these things. I'm not qualified, I don't have the hand movements, I can't even get the twirling of the thumbs down right, you know? You know? That's what I mean. The only qualification to be engaged in the Yuga Dharma is to be fallen, is not to have any qualification. Right? Am I right or wrong? It's like, that's it. You just have to be unqualified, and you can engage in the Sankirtan process. Right? Just look at Jagaya Madai. Were they super qualified? No, they were like, you know, drinking and enjoying with women and all this other stuff, and they became great devotees just by the mercy of Nityananda. Right? So that's the wonderful aspect of this, and those wonderful quotes. And, I mean, just think, you just go out and you distribute, or try and distribute a book, and Prabhupada says, I'm internally indebted to you. I'm so grateful to you. Why? For pushing on the mission of my spiritual master. You know? He always says this. He always says, you know, thank you for, whenever you read these Sankirtan scores, thank you for assisting me in the mission of my spiritual master. You know, how many times do we read where Prabhupada thanks the devotees for engaging in the Sankirtan Yajna on behalf of his spiritual master? And how amazing is that? Because, you know, we're getting so much mercy. Because most of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, are not disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, you know, we're getting the mercy of some of us, like me, you know, of my guru, my grand guru, my great grand guru, and which is Srila Prabhupada, and then my great great grand guru, which is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The mercy is falling down on us, and just like in the mood of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, when he used to do these funny dances, and whoever saw Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj dance, you know, he was like an incarnation of Vakeshwara Pandit. He had to be, you know, because, like, he came up with some of the most far-out dances ever created, you know? Like, the stuff he thought about was just like, wow. And one of them I loved was when he used to go like this, you know? Grabbing the mercy, right? So tomorrow's a day to do this, to grab the mercy. So thank you so much for that. It's so nice. And we're even being blessed with Ananta Rupa Prabhu to come out tomorrow with us. Yes, Karuna Maya Mataji? Yeah. It's also they're having his Vyasa Puja on Mayapur TV. So I mean, it's just another reason to go out. You know, for those that are his disciples, you know, the guru. You know, he already gets enough money. He gets enough socks. He gets enough sweaters. Hats, he gets plenty of hats. You know, like Kadama Kanamara said to me, it's like he's like being a sannyasi is like being a child all over again because people dress you up in things you don't want. You know? Like people, you know, one time I remember somebody gave him like a neon orange sweater, right, for his Vyasa Puja, and he wore it, and he's like, what, you can't say no, right? So instead of like offering material things to the spiritual master, if you're a disciple of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, why not offer your day of book distribution to him? I'm sure that will please him much more than another pair of socks, you know, like to go with the 30,000 other pairs he's gotten. Everywhere he goes, he gets a pair of socks. It's... And once, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj said that to me once, you know, he's like, everywhere I go, I get socks, two or three pairs. It's like, do they think I have like 17 feet or something? You know, like, it's like half my suitcase is socks. It's like, don't know, I'm sure you're getting a lot of socks nowadays, aren't you? Yeah, but instead of that, you know, another thing, you know, offer that to Bhakti Charu Maharaj as a community. He's come here and he's done such nice things for us. He just had a nice retreat. You know, and offer, you see how we can offer these things to the spiritual master, and not just, you know, it's just not a day we're just going out just to go out because we're bored and we're tired of it. We're like, you know, cabin fever in Radhadesh. It's a day to go out and offer these results to the spiritual master. And even if it's no books, just say, Maharaj, we went out. And that's like, nowadays, that's an accomplishment by itself, just to get people to go out on Sankirtan. And Harinam, especially in areas like this that are in the middle of nowhere. You know, that's... I mean, you can yell and not hear anyone. Yeah. Yes? We're going to do both together. We're going to kick it old school. We're bringing it back to the 70s. We're going to do Harinam and book distribution together. So it depends. Like, I'm lazy. Everyone knows I'm a fan of lazy intelligence. I'm going to stand in one spot because I'm lazy, you know, but other people can walk with the Harinam. Other people can just walk off on their own and do book distribution like Yadurani Mataji is famous for doing and coming back with thousands of books distributed, you know, and Bhagavatam sets and everything else. But it doesn't stop with that, you know. Like, what she did two sets the other day here at Radhadesh without even leaving her house, you know. It's like... I mean, it's possible to distribute books here. You know, we had Hari Bhakti here set up this whole book tent during the summer, and it did huge. I mean, she was doing like maybe almost 100 books a month with that thing. You know, so tomorrow is just going to be however devotees want to do it. If they want to, you know, the Harinam will go, and if you want to go distribute with the Harinam, you can distribute. If you want to go do your own thing and go out and distribute, go out and distribute. No pressure. There's no pressure to conform. It's just go out. You know, there's not like a, okay, everyone walk like ducks, and like, okay, you know, okay, all the men. I went on Harinam in Russia, right? And everyone was looking at me like I was retarded, right? All the devotees, because they all have these synchronized dance moves, and even the guys have them. And then I was in there, me and Madhava, like messing up the dance moves, and they were like, yeah, you're not from around here, are you? And we're like, no, not at all, right? No, there's no like carbon copy. It's... If the devotee is going to walk and do Harinam, and if you feel like walking with them and distributing, that's great. And if you feel like going off on your own, or if you feel like being lazy like me and staying in one spot, that's okay also. Main thing is to go out. That's what we want. Those little things, everyone, it doesn't matter, because last time we thought, we took a Maha Harinam out with Pralananda Swami. We thought, okay, we'll meet here and then we'll give out the books. And as soon as the devotees got out of the parking lot, everyone took off on Harinam. It was like a marathon to keep up with them. And then all the books, we were pulling a little cart behind us with all the books. And then it was like people were just everywhere. And it was just chaos. But it was fun. So it'll be chaos tomorrow. Guaranteed, you know. It's like, anyway, anything else? Yes. By sleeping, getting proper amount of rest, by eating properly, right? Not like just, you know, just like, you know, as the famous, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and Vaisheshika Prabhu once had a gulab jamun eating contest, and Vaisheshika Prabhu ate 68, and I think, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ate like 62 or something like this, you know, but no, we don't want to do that, you know, like that's a lot of kalpas to eat at one point, we want to go. No, we want to take care of our bodies, rest properly, but ultimately we get the energy from the association and from reading and chanting. I mean, that's where all the energy comes from. It doesn't come from, like, you can sleep 12 hours and if you're still not really chanting your rounds good, and you have a horrible sadhana of getting up, a steady sadhana of getting up at 8 o'clock every day, that's steady, you know, then you're not going to have that that drive to go out. Then it becomes like a tedious activity. But if you're really like engaging in a process of hearing and chanting and stuff like this, then you get that energy and you want to go out, you know. So most of the time when we don't have the energy, it's because we're lonely and we don't have the association. And we think, oh, woe is me, it's all by myself and this and that. But if we just chant and read Prabhupada's books or listen to a lecture, then we'll get that inspiration to go out. That's what you have to do. So you shouldn't leave us to go to South France. You should stay here. You shouldn't leave. You should stay here and get the association. Yes, Michael Prabhu. Yeah, that's yeah. Sankirtan is not a material thing. I mean, you can sleep 12 hours and still not be able to maintain that energy level. It comes from being part of the process, from chanting your rounds, coming to Mangalarati, coming to Guru Puja, coming to Bhagavatam class, taking a prasadam in the association of Vaishnavas, developing relations with Vaishnavas, you know, reading on. If you look at the old days, these Maha, like, Vaisheshika Prabhu told me, like, when they would go out on Sankirtan, they would go for 12 hours a day. They would sleep 4 hours at night and go out 12 hours a day and not eat during the day. They would just eat in the morning, and that was it. And they would go out. Well, how has this happened? I asked him, you know, how is this possible? He said, because while we were eating prasadam, somebody was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam out loud, right? When we all got up early, chanted our rounds, went to Mangalarati, chanted our rounds as a group, then we all went to Guru Puja, then we all went to Bhagavatam class, then we all ate prasadam together. And while we were eating prasadam, somebody was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam out loud. When we went in the van, somebody was reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita out loud, right? When we got in there, we stayed in groups of two and we distributed together, feeding off each other's energy. Then when we came home, on the way back home, we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita again. Then we took a little hot milk and we read Krishna book and then we went to sleep. Right? So it's not, you can get tons of sleep, but ultimately how you maintain is from the energy of Krishna, is from the process. I mean, I know devotees that are, you know, they're not even Mahabhagavat book distributors. They're like, you know, like my friend Ananta Vidya in America, he just goes out by himself in a van, just by himself, traveling around America distributing books. Doesn't have anything. He eats once a day, some steamed vegetables, and that's it. And he sleeps 3 hours. He drives the van by himself, cleans the van by himself, and distributes by himself. But whenever you see him, he'll have the Srimad Bhagavatam in his hands, reading. You know, the guy, he knows the whole Bhagavatam inside and out. His whole shelter is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whenever you see him, if he has a free moment, he pulls out his little Srimad Bhagavatam and starts reading. And that's what gives him the energy to go on by himself to do these things. It's not a material service. It's like, you know, you can be tired as anything and still be able to go out and have that energy because you're engaged in the yajna, you know? So you can sleep 6 straight hours, which is good, and you can eat very nicely, but still, if you don't have the process there, if you don't have hearing and chanting, if you don't have association, if you don't have things like this, then you won't have the energy to last 3 hours. After 2 hours, you'll be like, I'm ready to go home now. You know, it's like that. You know, so the energy comes from the process, and any old devotee will tell you that it's not like, I mean, I'm sure Maharaj has tons of stories of sleeping hardly and eating hardly and going out and doing books, you know. I mean, that's the whole movement was based off that, you know. That's why association is so important. That's why we try and do these once a month things, so it's not such a burden. And granted, when I come back from India, I'm going to be taking devotees regularly on traveling Sankirtan from here to Brussels and other places for a week, you know. But ultimately, you know, you want to get a nice rest, you want to eat nicely, but ultimately what we really want to eat is the process. That's the real nutrition, right? Because then how are you going to, you can have a wonderful meal of 15,000 preparations and get, you know, 22 hours sleep, and then go out there and the material energy will just knock you down and make you not want to go anymore. That's because you're not strong spiritually. It has nothing to do physically. See what I mean? That's how it is. I wish I can give a magic pill and say, here you go, but I can't. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, all we have to do is look at ourselves, right? I remember, I can look at myself as a kid. I came from a very broken background. I mean, abused physically, emotionally, every which way, right? And, I mean, when I was like 10 years old, my brother, he still is a drug dealer. And when I was 10 years old, he used to give me packages to run down the street because no cop's going to stop a 10-year-old on a bicycle. And I used to deliver these things for him, right? And then I look at myself now. I don't do these things. I'm a little bit more normal than I used to be. Well, that's debatable. That's a debatable fact, you know. It's, my level of normality is debatable. But you just have to look at yourself and honestly look at yourself, and you'll see the mercy coming. Just the fact that you're here in this community, that you're doing what you're doing, is proof that the mercy is there. Otherwise, you can be back in Amsterdam getting, you know, puff, puff, give, you know. You can just keep on smoking. No, but you're not doing these things. You lost the taste for these things. So that's when you know the mercy has affected us. You know, you can't say, well, the mercy manifests like this, because in every other person, mercy manifests, you know, differently, in different aspects, in different ways. It comes to us, you know. I can say for me personally, the fact that I can count so many senior devotees as some of my closest friends in the movement, like Maharaj, like Govinda Maharaj, like so many people, I count that as mercy coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada. That's mercy, you know, I can see that. That's, otherwise, like, how can I have friends like this, you know, other than it's there, you know. How can I have such a wonderful family, you know? How can I have, you know, wonderful people like Ananta Rupa Prabhu or like Yadarani or like all these people in my life? Well, that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because if the mercy wasn't there, I'd have my brother in my life, or better yet, you know, I'd have, like, who knows where I'd be, you know. So you just have to look at yourself and you'll see the mercy. Honestly look at yourself. That's the problem. We don't want to look at it honestly. Look at yourself and look where you've been and where you've gone. Like, even like Gora, who's born in the movement, you can see, you know, before he came here, he was working two jobs, you know, suffering like anything. And now he's here and he's happy as anything, you know. What's that? That's mercy. You know? Sorry, Gora, but, you know. Anyway, it's all family here. Whatever is said in the lecture stays in the lecture, except for whoever listens online, you know, so. But you can see that's the mercy. So that's how we can see the mercy manifest, right? I mean, anybody have anything else to add? Yeah. 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 I mean, I can see it another way, you know? I'm going to Vrindavan on Friday, right? Not even Vrindavan, I'm going to Govardhan, right? I'm going to Radhakund on Friday to stay with some ISKCON devotees there, right? Talk about mercy. If that doesn't prove to me that there's mercy coming, I don't know what is, because I have no qualification to even enter Vrindavan, you know? I have no qualification even to use, you know, ghetto Air India. I don't even have a qualification for that, you know? Like, but the devotees are that merciful. So you see the mercy is coming in so many different aspects, like, yeah. 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 Yeah, and you can also get kicked out of Vrindavan if you know. Yeah, people get kicked out of Vrindavan all the time. Like, I remember there was one gentleman from Israel, and he came there, and he, like, you know how, if those have been haven't been to Vrindavan, you have the brahmachari area where they eat, and then you have the I don't know what it's called, the barricade, the Maya barricade, I don't know, that's the, you know, and then on the other side is all the ladies and the grihastas and everything. And I remember this devotee came in, right? And he said, who cooked this? This isn't prasadam. This isn't prasadam. This is tamagun. This is, who eats chilies? Chilies is not in the mode of goodness. And some Bengali who stood up and was like, Prabhuji, you know, this is Radharani's kitchen, and it's been offered to Krishna, so it transcends. Like, no, it doesn't. it doesn't transcend just because it's offered. This is nonsense. This is Maya, and all of you are rascals. And it was really, this devotee was saying that, this bhakta, you know, and his first time in Vrindavan. And then I said to him, Prabhu, you know, relax. And he's like, who are you to tell me to relax? You've offended me. And I was like, oh, sorry, you know. And I paid obeisances to him. I don't have to pay obeisances back. You're a dog, and you're this, and all of you are dogs. And then, like, you know, the devotees there wouldn't even let him back in the temple again. Like, and then, like, he was suffering so much, you know. He then, you know, nobody would talk to him. You know, he was just walking around just suffering because he made such offenses, you know. He lost all the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Then he went to Mayapur and he tried to approach devotees and they said, no, we heard what you did in Vrindavan. We don't want you here. And he lost the mercy of the Vaishnavas, you know. So it's like, mercy is a very tricky subject because you get it, but quickly you can lose it too. You know, it's... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the mercy's there. You just have to get it. No, to enter Vrindavan means, you're, like you said, you have to, Prabhupada says, you have to have the mercy of Radharani. It's not a material thing where you can just show up on, you know, Vrindavan. You know, I tried for 15 years to get to Vrindavan, and then I couldn't get there, no matter what. I even bought plane tickets at one point. And then there was a terrorist attack, and the army said, you can't go to India now. And I was so close. I was on my way to the airport, right? I mean, I still couldn't get to Vrindavan. So it's not like a material thing where you can just, you know, show up in Vrindavan, you know? You know, it takes mercy, you know? And sometimes mercy comes, like, very quickly. Like, some devotees, like, right away can go to Vrindavan. And I know devotees who've been devotees 32 years and still haven't gone to Vrindavan, you know? Like, they've never got a chance to go, whether it's... Just the arrangement was never made for them. So, no, there's a... I mean, we can see the... We have to define what is Vrindavan. Is Loy Bazaar Vrindavan? No, not really. I mean, Prabhupada says Krishna doesn't loiter in Loy Bazaar. You know? Loy Bazaar is not Vrindavan, you know? That's the external covering of Vrindavan. You know? There's an external covering. That's what Lord Shiva's there to protect the Dham by only letting qualified people come in, even though we're not qualified, it's still mercy letting us in. So it's only by the mercy we're allowed to enter Vrindavan, and that's undisputable. That's just, you can't go. Because you see people who think they're qualified to go, or and then they go and they make such offenses that they get like dysentery, or they, you know, they get, as I call, Saddam's revenge when you are passing water out the backside, and you get, and they leave immediately out of Vrindavan, you know? So that's it. So... Anyhow, I think we're going to stop here because it's almost time and I've talked long enough. And anyway, so thank you very much. Please come tomorrow, sign your name up. There's only a few limited spaces, you know. We even have sandwiches for you just to, you know, entice you a little more. We even got him from Vanipedia for the day, you know. That's like an accomplishment by itself. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Namo